There must be another way. Zacchaeus is looking at this large crowd standing before him, standing between him and Jesus. He's short, and no one is letting him walk through. No one's gracious enough to let him go to the front. Typical, he thinks. His animosity towards these people seems to grow with every encounter. There must be another way. And that's when he sees the sycamore tree. He jumps up to the lowest branch and begins to make his way up. A grown man, a wealthy, successful man, climbing a tree just to get a glimpse of some guy from Nazareth. Isn't this a little beneath him? So why does he do it? I always thought it was because he was short. You know, Zacchaeus was a wee little man, a wee little man was he. You know this song. But should he have to climb a tree just because he's short? Couldn't he have gone up front while others looked over him? Why won't they let him through? Well, it's probably because they didn't like him. They hated him, actually. That might have been the lesser known second verse. Zacchaeus was a hated man was he. It never caught on. Zacchaeus was a tax collector, a chief tax collector. And that made him something between the modern IRS middle manager and a gangster. Here's how it worked. To implement a tax, Rome would do a census, sort of like the one done around when Jesus was born. And they would use that census to figure out how much a city would owe in taxes. But Rome was more interested in spending the money than that arduous process of collecting it. And so they would contract that part out to tax collectors like Zacchaeus. The tax collector would promise to pay a certain amount of taxes to Rome, and in exchange, he'd get the right to collect taxes in his town. What wasn't specified in the contract was how much taxes he'd collect. Rome only cared about how much they got. What Zacchaeus did was his own business. And a business it was. It appears Zacchaeus made a lot of money collecting taxes. You can imagine it. He's got this long ledger with everyone's name written on it. And he walks around town, up to people in the market or at their house, points at their name on the ledger and demands that they pay. The ledger and the badge, I don't know if there was a badge, the ledger and the badge, though, if there was a badge, make it seem so official. They make it seem like everything was above the table. But why then does Zacchaeus have the nicest house in town? Why does he wear the nicest clothes and drive the nicest car while others go hungry? The people of Jericho might not understand the math on his ledger, but they aren't stupid. They see what's going on here. It's bad enough to pay taxes to their oppressor, Rome, but they're also paying extra so Zacchaeus can live in luxury, and they hate him for it. They may be stuck paying him, but they don't have to show him any respect. He doesn't get invited to barbecues. Small talk stops whenever he enters the room and then erupts again as soon as he leaves. The crowd expresses their animosity in little ways. They don't let him go up front to see Jesus. Zacchaeus knows this. At first it really got to him. But now he's settled into a sort of mutual animosity. He hates his own people and they hate him. A vile equilibrium of sorts that results in small, inhospitable acts and a grown rich man climbing a tree so he can get a glimpse of Jesus. That's why he climbs. Actually, that's why he has to climb the tree if he's going to see Jesus. But why does he want to go through all that work? Why does he want to see Jesus so badly? Well, there is a lot of hype. Word of Jesus arrives well before Jesus does. He's become a bit of a celebrity. The guy who can heal and raise the dead. Zacchaeus is as curious as everyone else to see him. The guy who can get Pharisees pondering and scribes stuttering. Zacchaeus wants to see what he's like, just like everyone else. The guy who befriends sinners and outcasts and tax collectors. That's why Zacchaeus climbs the tree. Supposedly, there is this guy who is respected and adored, a guy of great integrity and wisdom, and he befriends the likes of Zacchaeus. If that's true, then Jesus has discovered a loophole or an alternative to this equilibrium of animosity. So Zacchaeus climbs the tree, hoping to get a glance. But I suspect that's all he wanted, a glance, a chance to see who this Jesus was, size him up, and then go home and think about it for a while. Because while Zacchaeus is stuck in this equilibrium of animosity, he's made peace with it, and he isn't sure he's ready to rock the boat yet. In other words, Zacchaeus is nothing like the blind beggar Jesus encountered before coming to town. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me," the guy yells. He really wants to be seen. This guy wants Jesus to notice him, have mercy on him, change him. He wants his life and his world to get upended, and he's bursting at the seams to see Jesus. So everyone's telling him to be quiet. Be quiet. Why on earth would I do that? Compare that to Zacchaeus, up in a tree, hiding among the leaves, not saying a word. He wants to see Jesus, but he's not so sure he wants Jesus to see him. I get that. We so often fall into these equilibriums too, don't we? Life is far from perfect, we know, but we'd rather small, incremental changes that we can control. All the while we have this knot in our stomach. We think about the poor, perhaps, on the other side of town with their ill-equipped schools, or the poor on the other side of the world who make our cheap clothes and cheaper phones. It's an imperfect equilibrium. We've inherited it, and we benefit from it. But it's hard to really change, you know? We fret over wars raging across the world, many in our own name, even though we know as a city we thrive on it. We see division in our families and our neighborhoods on race and religion and environment and core values, but we're able to paper over it and talk about weather or sports. We see aimlessness and a lack of purpose in ourselves, but then there's so much good TV on these days. We have this knot in our stomach, and also this sense that maybe there's another way, that something better could be. But we know it would likely require change in us. The sort of change the blind beggar hollers for, the sort of change Zacchaeus wants to see, but at arm's length. We also aren't sure we're ready for it yet. We aren't sure we're up to that. Like Zacchaeus, we want to see Jesus, but we don't want Jesus to see us. But then he does. You can imagine Zacchaeus hiding in the bushy tree looking down at Jesus. And then Jesus, for some reason, looks up and they make that brief eye contact. Ah! Zacchaeus quickly ducks his head behind a branch, hoping to avoid Jesus' gaze, but by then it's too late. Just an hour earlier, the blind man calls out to Jesus, and now Jesus calls out to Zacchaeus. "Get out of that tree. I'm coming over to your house." And now everyone is looking at him and grumbling. "Seriously, Jesus? You're going to go to Zacchaeus' house? The house built with our money stolen from us?" But Jesus goes. And the fragile equilibrium, the sense that Zacchaeus is above the citizens of Jericho, but definitely not one of them, that he is prosperous, but not accepted, the equilibrium cracks. Zacchaeus pulls out the extra dining room chair out of the closet, the chair no one has ever used because he's never had a guest. Jesus is eating at Zacchaeus' house, and it's upsetting the equilibrium between him and the rest of Jericho. It's tempting to examine this Jesus from a distance, to watch and wonder if there really is another way, a way around all those vile equilibriums that have rooted themselves in our world. To wonder if there truly is another way to live. It's tempting to consider this other way and then carefully decide if the change in us that it requires, that it brings about, would be worth it. Maybe make a pro and con list before seeing if Jesus would like to come over for dinner, you know, before deciding to sign on the line. But here's the thing. Jesus isn't waiting to be invited. He's that rude friend who invites himself over even though the floors aren't clean. He didn't come to this world to be considered and vetted. He came to turn things around. He came because those equilibriums of animosity and poverty and purposelessness and death, they break God's heart. He didn't come to propose another way, but to initiate it, to change the world, and in doing so, change us. If the idea of being changed like that is as frightening to you as it is to me, well, then I've got some bad news. That's just part of it. There is no faith in which the grace of Sunday morning is quarantined here so that it might not infiltrate the rest of your life. Christ came to change the world and to change you, your relationships and priorities and politics and spending habits and free time and maybe even the way you go about your work. The bad news for those of us who want to see Jesus from behind the bushy leaves of that tree is that Jesus sees us and he's coming over. But there's also good news. He's coming over and he's bringing life. Zacchaeus stood there awkwardly as Jesus broke cracks into the wall between him and the rest of Jericho. But then he realized something. The change he feared so much was the only thing which would give him life. To restore his place in Jericho meant a change in him. There was another way, an alternative to mutual animosity. And that other way would be harder and it would cost him. But it was the way of life. The grace of Christ bubbles over and changes Zacchaeus. He decides, right then and there, to quit pilfering money from his fellow citizens and gives back what he had taken unfairly, what he had stolen, quite frankly. Grace changed him from holding tight to his money at the expense of his neighbor. It was the exact change he feared the most, and it was the exact change he needed the most. This faith thing isn't easy, folks. It changes you. It changes your heart. And you can almost see it coming as you peek around the leaves of that tree. But then Jesus sees you and initiates the very change you fear, the very change that will set your heart ablaze, the very change that will give you life. It turns out there is another way. So come on out of that tree. Amen.